Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference call for the 20th day of June, year 2021. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is Father's Day. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo-Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cymru Ambeth. Callers will be welcome. We do ask that you watch your language and also be mindful of other people who may be on the call at the same time. We are in the question and answer mode, which means everybody's muted until such time as you indicate to me you wish to speak. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces or special characters, just plain old pastordan.net. And let's see, we got at least I thought we had a verse here we wanted to read. Luke 11:13, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Now, we talked about this verse before, the fact that there's a condition on there. Everybody thinks the Father's going to bless every single person on earth. I hear all the excuses imaginable. DNA doesn't matter, race doesn't matter, ethnicity doesn't matter, what you do doesn't matter, God just loves everybody. Okay. Heavenly Father gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. And what did He say when He walked the earth as Yahshua? My sheep, hear my voice. So if you hear His voice and He hears yours, there's two-way communication with, quote, His peculiar people. There's only one group of people that ever amounted to a hill of beans on this earth, and if you do a true look at historicity, you will find out that it's the white race. And not all of the white race with the Spirit of the Most High within them, operating within them. And the Holy Spirit has sway over their fleshly desires so that they desire righteousness and to do good works upon the earth. So this Father's Day, since fathers are under attack, especially white men in this day and age, one of the things the ladies could do to help us out is let the men be men. I remember years ago, a fellow from the Methodist church I attended asked me, and I was just the boy at the time, he said, Dan, he goes, why do you think God made women? And I said, I'm not sure why. And he said, to make men, men. I said, wow. I said, what exactly does that mean? He said, well, when you cease to be a man, they take over. And in my life's experience, that gentleman was pretty accurate. If our young people had been taught with that kind of wisdom, especially our young boys, that would save them a whole lot of heartache later on in life. Nothing against you, ladies, but you got to remember, and since this is Father's Day, that this program was started almost 22 years ago now for the men. I made that very clear in the very first broadcast. I'm not here to reach the women. The women have lots of support groups in their favor now. They got the courts, they got the media, the Jews are using women against us men. It's the white man that doesn't have a voice today. It's the white man who is being put upon because we are the greatest threat to this Zionist communist takeover of the world. So if you want to do us a favor, let men be men again, because you haven't been as long as I've been an adult. Everything has been turned against the white man, and the very first group that they went after, starting in the early 1900s with the suffrage movement and the giving women the right to vote, and then all of a sudden women were pushed out into the workforce, so they were taken out of the homes, etc. It was a game or an agenda to take down the white man, take down his dominance, take down his authority over the family, etc. So, if you want to counter what's going on, this insanity that we see going on today, then of course you want to restore men to their proper authority and get into line behind the men. Especially today, because, you know, the Bible says that there would become a time at the end of the age where seven women would take hold of one man and ask him to take away their reproach. Now, if you do a deep dive into that verse and what they considered a reproach, it was a woman without a male as their cover. Because what that typically meant was she wasn't worthy, because all the worthy women were easily taken into the household of a man. So if she didn't have a man that was her legal cover over her, then she was considered unfit. Makes perfect sense, doesn't it? So we've reached that point. Look at how many women out there are unhinged. They're uncovered, so to speak. They're on their own. Now, the ladies out there will say, well, that's the way it should be. We don't need a man. We can do it ourselves, blah, 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 blah. Well, take a look around you and see what this world has become, okay? Now, it's not all the ladies' fault, but it's part of the takedown of the system that our Heavenly Father put in place. And if you can't see that, folks, I'm sorry, that's your problem, not mine. So men have been taken out of their traditional role as the head of the households, head of the tribe, head of the nation. And we've been put into a closet, and pretty much everybody else rules the roost. The aliens that come again or come into our lands, the trannies, the queers, the half-breeds, the foreigners, the invaders, the Jews, all these non-white entities have dominion over the land. And to be quite frank, in my adult experience, most of the time, the women cheered as the men were being disenfranchised. So again, take a look around you at what we see as the condition of this world and where has it led you. Now, I will admit, ladies, because one of the first arguments I get is, where are the real men? I do not expect a woman to give up authority to a man who doesn't know how to be a man. And again, we men have let the drop the ball in that regard, because we no longer teach the young boys how to be men. And that's one reason that the divorce courts side with the women so often, is because they don't want the men teaching the young boys how to be men. So all of this stuff is happening to us to diminish our prominence in the world and take away our power. And again, that scripture about the seven women taking hold of one man, it's talking about a real man, not just males that walk around in this society. Most of them aren't fit for one woman, let alone seven. The point of it is, seven, that's the ratio, and according to James Robertson's ministry over there in England, End Times Issues, or ETI, End Times Issues Ministry, he's got statistics that says in the world of believers today, just the world of believers now, real, true believers, the ratio is about 7 to 1. Kind of interesting, isn't it? Now, here's the catch that sort of came to me today. It says that seven women will take hold of one man and ask him to take away their reproach. In other words, let them into his household under his protection and cover. What I'm finding out is most men don't want the women today, because of the situation and the attitudes and the behavior. Seven women may go to one man and ask, but that doesn't mean the man is going to accept seven women. And that's what's happening. The men that I speak with and I know about they're growing cold towards women folk because there aren't very many good women either. So it's a two-way street. It's true, there aren't a whole lot of men that get it right, but I'm going to tell you another thing. There aren't a whole lot of women that get it right either. And so we got a big problem in the house of Jacob of Israel today. And just like the Zionist Christians out there that think they're saved and think they're doing the right thing by going to these whitewashed sepulchers out there, there's a whole lot of people in identity that think they get it right, but they don't. They're not even close. But they think because they understand the racial aspects of the scriptures that all the rest of it, it just falls into place. So I got news for you. Our Heavenly Father doesn't expect you to keep just part of His rules. He expects you to keep all of them. All of His rules. That includes how you set up a family, who's in charge of it, etc. Now we got Ella here says seven as a number means complete. For example, letters to the seven churches. Yeah, it can be figurative or it could be literal. It just depends. A lot of times the numbers given in scriptures are for a figurative expression. Just like a lot of people say, you know, I got a million speeding tickets over the past 20 years. Okay, did you really get a million? No, you just mean you got a lot. Okay, well, our ancestors in Aramaic and Hebrew and Greek did the same thing. Sometimes they would give these large numbers only to put emphasis on what they were saying. So you don't get caught up on the literal stuff, folks. And that's another issue we got today. Where the white race is backstabbing each other over minutia of doctrine, okay? We got enemies flooding into our lands. We're on the brink of the white race going out of historical significance completely. And yet, white people still want to sit around and put daggers in our backs over minutia of dogma in identity and any other topic you want to bring up. We just love to argue with each other. And particularly when I get into discussions with the ladies out there, the men seem to get it pretty quickly, at least in these certain topics, okay? But there are certain topics I get in discussion with the women, and the first thing I get is the emotional response. The typical emotional response. And I've got news for the ladies. I don't give a damn about your emotional response. I really don't. Same thing goes for the men, but the men typically are not emotional. It's the ladies who are emotional. They want to operate off of emotion more than they do logic and reason. So if the intent is to contact me and berate me with emotionalism, it's not going to work, okay? I'm just telling you. So don't even bother calling me. It's his way or the highway, folks. That's all I'm here to tell you. Learn the right way, learn his way, and do it. Whether you like it or not, whether you understand it completely or not, learn the right way and just follow it. It's very similar to when we get into these health issues, okay? I spent a lifetime of learning about natural health. It just made perfect sense to me, so I did it. I thought it would be a good example for my family and my friends and neighbors, etc., but you know what? Most people don't care. They really don't care because our people are full of emotionalism and they're used to the, quote, tradition of their elders, okay? And they just want to stick with it. You know, my father, my grandfather, they ate pork. Well, okay, but it's not good for you. Oh, I don't care. I like it. I like my bacon. Don't tell me I can't have my bacon. Okay, well, then don't eat your goddamn bacon. I don't care. Eat it all you want. Just don't come crawling to me when your joints stop working because of the arthritis or your intestinal lining starts getting eaten out. Don't come crying to me. Because personally, I'm not going to give a nickel to your getting healed because you didn't listen. Why the hell should I help you? I just don't understand people. I really don't. Why is it so hard to do the right thing? Why is it so hard to sit down and take a moment and think about it and realize what's the right way to do things? Why is that so goddamn hard? I don't understand it. But that's the way our people are. Look at the morons walking around with diapers on their faces. You want to talk about people being stupid? Or going down and putting this serum in their arms. Unbelievable what I'm reading about the dangers of these serums, and yet people still lining up for them. Well, I just want to go around without a mask on, Dan. Well, you could go around without a mask on without putting that shit in your arm. If you had brains enough to read the mandates, if you paid attention to what the hell's going on in the world, you could have gone the whole time, just like me and many others. I haven't put a damn diaper on one time, not once. I'm still here. I only got thrown out of one store in the past 15 months, one store. And they didn't actually throw me out. I just walked away from the cart and walked out because that day I was in a hurry and didn't feel like arguing, or I would have done the arguing like I did in Walmart and Publix and BJ's and the rest of them. Okay? The point of it is, you go around saying I'm forced to do it for my job or whatever, but no, the fact of the matter is you're not forced to do it. The fact of the matter is you don't have enough balls to fight it. That's really the truth. You know that, right? I hope you do. Be honest with yourself. You just don't have any freaking balls. You don't have any intestinal fortitude. Our race is like a race of sheep today. And again, on Father's Day, where's the men? Where are the lions? You want to be the head of your household, then be a lion, guys. Nobody gives a damn about the sheep. It's the lions, all right? The lions, these alien invaders and everything else that are coming in here, do you think they care about what the sheep think? Lions don't care what sheep think. Lions do what they know is the right thing to do, and they don't give a damn if anybody understands it or not. And the same thing when it comes to this discussion of the patriarchal family. I am really so sick and tired of arguing about it. I'm sick and tired of it. If you can't understand the significance of it and the rationale behind it, then please keep it to yourself. Go off in your little cliques out there of like-minded folks that think you can just do it any way you want and leave me alone. I was given a mission a long time ago as a boy. What I was going to be as I grew up and learned, and as Yahweh revealed things to me, I was going to tell everybody about it. That was my promise to him. Especially back in the 1980s. And 90s, when I came into the full knowledge of identity, I can remember saying the prayer, Father, if you give me an opportunity to speak to the world, I will teach your message to the world as best as I can. That's before the internet. Less than 7 years later, now here we go with that number seven again. It was approximately 7 years later, the internet shows up. And guess what? Along with it, internet radio. And what does internet radio let you do? Speak to the whole world. Especially today when the internet now goes out to virtually every corner of the earth. So did our Father answer that prayer? In my regard, he sure as hell did. And I think if you look close enough in your life, he's answered your prayers in many a time. The point of it is, these truths that we talk about on here, some of them are unpleasant to you. I understand that, okay? I got a little bit of empathy for you, but as I'm getting older, and I just had a birthday, and now we're celebrating Father's Day, as I'm getting older and realize the things I do, I don't want to argue about these things. I really don't. I don't have the energy. I don't need the negative energy around me. I don't need the Debbie Downers. I don't need the naysayers. I just don't need that, okay? If you want to go off on your course on a different path, then fine. I wish you well. Many blessings. I've often said to people that back in the days when I said that the Father's name was Yahweh or Yahuwah, there were a lot of people, including Jim Wickstrom and Pastor James, Eli James, and many others. Oh, Dan, it doesn't matter. Lord and Jesus are just fine. Yeah, believe it or not, I used to get that all the time. I remember when Wickstrom used to call them Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh, which is the consonants in the Hebrew alphabet for Yahweh. He wouldn't say the name. Almost sounds like a Jew, doesn't it? But every time I give a talk, I would use the name. Then years later, all of a sudden, I'm hearing him give talks after I separated from him. And I hear him giving talks, and guess what? He's using the name. Pastor Eli James, same thing. Guess what? Today, he's using the name. But when I first started doing it, everybody wanted to put me down for it. Said it didn't matter. Well, you're allowed to do whatever you want. You want to keep calling him Jesus and Lord God and everything else, then you go right ahead. But don't tell me I'm wrong. Just because of emotionalism or because I'm going in a slightly different path than our ancestors have gone, do you think our ancestors always had it right? Do you think maybe as this world is completely upside down now, I'm hearing that term from friends and family almost every day, this world is nuts. It's completely upside down. Yeah, guess what it is? Now, why is it in a completely upside down world, there's some of you out there that want to stick with the old ways? You want to stick with the ways in recent history when our ancestors in the last couple hundred years have undone what we had for thousands of years. Why do you want to do that? I would think as we watch things go to hell in a handbasket, you would want to search out where did we go wrong? What could we change to make things better? Instead, you want to stick to your emotionalism. You want to stick to your petty peeves. Your own personal peeves about things. You want to stick to what makes you personally feel good instead of what's good for the whole race, what's good for the whole earth. Because what's good for the whole earth is doing things his way, not your way, not even my way. The task that was set before us is to figure out his way so that we would separate ourselves from the ways of the world. Not go along with it because it feels good or it's advantageous to you in some way, whatever. And again, the message I got on this Father's Day to the ladies, you know, you have the superior numbers, as James Robertson's ministry says, the ratio is about 7 of you to every one of us. Does that make you feel better? You outnumber us? Does that make you feel better that there's so few lions out here? And again, that passage in Scripture says that the women would ask the man to take away their reproach. It doesn't say the man accepts it. And what I'm finding out is most of the lions out there are kind of fed up with you ladies. Either you're going to support us or you're not. None of this halfway stuff. None of this half-assed, we'll support you in half of what you say, but you know the other half we're going to argue and demean you and ridicule you, and put you on a guilt trip because, you know, we think you're wrong. Well, again, I'll go back what that gentleman told me so long ago. Why did God make women? To make men men. So men, what's that say to you on this Father's Day? What that message to you is, put your big boy pants on, strap on those boots, and be a man. And when the ladies decide that they're going to come against you, just turn them away. Instead of sitting there and arguing with them and allowing them to browbeat you, just tell them to get the hell away from me. Get away. just like it was in the days of old, okay? You read, and we talk about Jacob's tent theory all the time. How did Jacob, the great ancestor of our people, the white race that was given the covenants and the promises, okay, the covenant people now, he's the great ancestor, the father, is he not? Or scripture's lying, one or the other. How did he do it? He had his tent in the middle and the four tents with the wives around him. And you did not come into the patriarch's tent uninvited. That is historical fact. It's not just Jacob. That was the way it was done. You did not come into the man's tent or his domain uninvited. You couldn't just waltz through the tent door and start browbeating him and giving him a honeydew list and telling him where he didn't wipe his feet when he came in or some other nonsensical bullshit story where you're going to jump all over your man. You couldn't even come into his tent without his invitation. Does that sound like today? I look at browbeaten men today, and they're just a shadow of what men are supposed to be. My son told me a story the other night where he was being accosted in a parking lot because he was parking his pickup truck and trailer in a certain area in the community he's at, and this woman and her man were walking their dog, and they started to accost him. The man didn't say a word. He just looked at the ground while his wife was just giving my son all kinds of shit because he was parking his truck and trailer in a certain area of the parking lot. The parking lot was empty, practically empty. But she was a member of the HOA, and you're not allowed to do that. You see why women make such terrible bosses and managers and government officials? Do you see why? In the middle of the night, my son wants to park his trailer so he can get his whole family up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go to an event. And all she cares about is, well, we have a rule, and I can demand you take that truck out of there. When a man would have looked at the parking lot, saw that at 11 o'clock at night it was empty, so who gives a damn that he parks his truck there till 4 o'clock in the morning so that it's easier for to get him and his wife and children into the truck to go to this all-day event. Do you see the idiocy? And what did the man do? He stood there looking at his feet. So you can tell who wore the pants in that family. And it sure as hell wasn't the male. He wasn't a man. Notice I didn't say he was a man. He was a male. Again, I don't like railing and making it sound as if the women are the problem because it all started with us men. It wasn't even the women's fault. My grandfathers and my father's generation allowed this to happen. As a boy, I witnessed as the male was diminished and females and aliens were raised up in this society. The traditional rule of a man was taken away and replaced, and women were put into the workforce to compete with the men and to take away their jobs, but it also took them out of the home. So now the woman was no longer there to raise the children up and to honor the father as the breadwinner and head of household. I lived through that. I saw what it did. And praise the living God. I was raised in a household in the traditional fashion. My mother never worked while we were children. My father was the breadwinner, and yes, we didn't see him very often. He worked a lot of hours, especially when I was younger. But there was no doubt who the head of my household was. It was father. And as his subordinate, my mother would administer punishment if it was needed until father got home. So I got to see it. I got to live it. I got to know what it was like to have the proper kind of family. I've been appalled over the years of this ministry on how many of my brothers and sisters did not know what it was like to be raised in that kind of a household. I feel sorry for you. I really do. Was my father strict? Yeah. He was very strict. So was my mother. They had rules, and you better not break them. But you know what? I'd have rather been raised that way than what I see out here today. Did we have a lot of money? Nope. We were pretty poor. We lived in a cinder block house on a pretty cheap piece of farmland. But I'll tell you one thing. I drank crystal clear, cool spring water. I went swimming in clean creeks on the farm. I ate food from a garden that we took care of ourselves. And as children, it was our job to keep it weeded. And we ate meat of animals that we raised ourselves or were raised by a neighbor. And I have the benefits from that. And I have a United States Air Force colonel that could attest to that, the one that did my dental surgery when I was in the Air Force, when he said to me, "Daniel, you're one of the healthiest men I've ever worked on." He said, "It must be good living." And I told him about my childhood being raised on that farm. So here's a colonel from Lackland Air Force Base, one of the top dental surgeons in the Air Force. And that was his comment. Now, some people out there, I'm sure, are going to say, "Well, Dan, what are you trying to do, toot your own horn?" No, I'm trying to make a goddamn point. That's what I'm trying to make. Because it just doesn't seem to sink into the heads of our people. They just don't get it. And another thing is, you folks out there that watch a lot of televisions, I'm praying that nobody in the audience is part of this group. But if you know people, and I do, that watch a lot of television, I'm talking mainstream, current programming on television. If you know people that are doing that, they're hopeless. First of all, I don't know anybody that has reached anyone in that category. In my own personal circles, I don't know anybody who's been able to speak wisdom or truth to a person that watches a lot of Jewish programming. Now, maybe you have. I'm just telling you, I haven't. So the men that I speak with, and some of the ladies too, we've pretty much come to the conclusion that if you find out that they're watching a lot of this Jewish programming, you're wasting your time. Those people are so brain dead, you could never reach them. You could stack books from the top of the desk to the ceiling with proofs of what you're telling them, and they still won't get it. Because all they know is the images of the beast that are coming across that flat screen. That's all they've got. They don't have any desire to study, look into a matter, research, or even take the time to just think about something logically. It's too much work. They'd rather plunk their fat ass in front of that screen and let the screen, which is their new god, let the screen tell them what to think. It's sad, but it's true. That's where we've reached that point in our history. So again, my appeal today is for men to be men, the males to become men or lions, and be proper fathers. Now, in the scripture in Exodus, where it goes through the Ten Commandments, and it says, "Honor thy father and thy mother." Remember that? "So that your life might be a long life and prosperous upon the land." Do you think it's talking about your biological mom and dad? Or do you think it's talking about Abraham and Sarah and the other ancestors prior to your generation that worshipped properly the father and lived according to his law? Why would you honor a biological set of parents who are dirtbags, drunks, drug addicts, atheists? Okay? Why? Why would you honor them? I wouldn't. I know plenty of parents haven't done a damn thing to help their children out. I've witnessed and talked to plenty of ladies who have been sexually abused or raped by family members, and their parents didn't do a damn thing about it. In fact, they blamed the girls. They were just girls when it happened. can't tell you how many women I've talked to that have been sexually abused in their lifetimes. It's appalling, folks. It's appalling. So where the hell were the parents? Where the hell were the aunts and uncles and grandparents when this shit's going on? And where was the vengeance? Where was the Phineas priest to take that rapist and make sure he didn't see the light of day for very long? We don't do anything the right way anymore. We allow an antichrist beast system to say they're going to take care of it. And how do they take care of it? Sometimes they don't do a damn thing to them, or they put them behind bars for 3 or 4 years, and that's supposed to cover up the crime of kidnapping or rape. Really? And yet the good book is very clear. Kidnapping and rape and murder are death penalties. I don't know how much clearer it can be. And it says in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, here are my blessings and my cursings. If you follow my ways, if you follow my rules, here's the blessings I will give you. And it's a wonderful world. And then it tells you, well, here's the curses if you don't follow my way. Go ahead and read Deuteronomy and Leviticus. And in Deuteronomy, I think it's chapter 28 and 29. Go read the blessings and the curses. And tell me how many of the curses we don't have today. I know we have almost all of them. Go read the curses and tell me how many of those that you see on that those pages that are not in play in this world right now. Okay? There's your assignment on this Father's Day. You want to take some time and spend it in the Word? Go back to Leviticus and specifically Deuteronomy and read about the blessings and the curses and see what we've got since men don't know how to be men anymore. Since men have given up their role as fathers. Now, we talked about the fact that the ladies in society are against the fathers today. That's true, but fathers, that doesn't give you a right to give up. You still should be fighting to have an influence over your children. You still should be fighting to have at least visitation and time to have an influence over your children as much as you can. Until we get this world straightened out, because it's a mess. But you have got to be men. You have got to be an example. This world is suffering because we do not have leadership, especially amongst the white race. We do not have leadership. So, men, you got to step up to the plate. You got to learn how to be proper fathers. Now, here's the other thing. We talked about the patriarchal family and the fact that the ladies are going to ask these patriarchs to be their cover. But you got to remember, again, it's not just any old man. It's got to be a lion because they're the only ones who are, first of all, capable and qualified to do it. And second of all, they're the only ones that deserve the support. Because they're going to do the work that's required to do it right. And that's where the men today have fallen down on the job. If you want to be that kind of a man, that kind of a leader amongst our people, then you've got to put in the hours. Number one, you'd better be healthy. You'd better do as you preach. You better follow your own rules, which means what? Be a stellar individual. Increase your intelligence. Increase your knowledge of the world and how it works. Increase any of the abilities that Yahweh gave you to be the best. Not just mediocre, to be the best. Whatever he lays before you, you want to be the best. Not just adequate, you want to be the best. The best man, the best lover, the best husband, the best father, the best teacher, the best worker, the best provider, and the best protector. You got to be the best in all of those. Or at the very least, strive to be the best. every man is given so much talent, and not all men are given the same in equal proportions. But that doesn't stop you from trying to improve. Just because of your anatomy, it doesn't give you a right to be the lion who's at the head of a household. No, it doesn't. Again, you go back to Jacob and what he had to go through. And again, was it a perfect relationship? No, of course it wasn't. I don't see a perfect man other than Yahshua in Scripture. Do you? King David was a man after Yahweh's own heart, and I'm going to tell you, he made plenty of mistakes. Jacob made mistakes. Abraham made mistakes. Isaac made mistakes. Joshua made mistakes. Solomon made mistakes. Does that take away from their position in Father's kingdom? Does it take away from their position in the fact that Yahweh blessed them? Why do you think that is? Do you think our Father's looking for perfection? If he's looking for perfection, guess what? None of you and I certainly am not going to make it. And the same thing for you ladies. If you're looking for perfection, guess what? You might as well keep on looking. Go right past my door and just keep right on looking, because you're not going to find it. What you should be looking for is a man with the proper attitude, the proper set of rules that he's trying to live by, and does he put forth the effort to be the best and to live that lifestyle? That's what makes a good man and a good father. You lead by example, men. I can't tell you how many times my father drilled that into my head. And my father drilled into my head on a daily basis, almost. Danny, you take care of your health. That's the most valuable thing you've got. He didn't sit there and try to preach to me. He didn't sit there and try to just pour all kinds of nonsense into my head day in and day out. It was always little nuggets. Why we're fixing fences or working on the tractors or hoeing the garden or fixing something in the house, putting up drywall or crawling down through the crawl space under the house to fix the furnace line. Little things like that, little one-liners, Danny. Actions speak louder than words. Don't just tell me you're going to do something. Let me see some action. Or words are cheap. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. That was another one. Okay, a lot of times my father wouldn't even tell me it was something out of Scripture. He wouldn't even say that. He would just tell me the words of wisdom. Red sky at night, sailor's delight. Red sky in the morning, sailor's warning. I used to think that was a Navy item until I got old enough and got my own Bible and started reading it. I said, oh my God, that's out of the Bible. That's not just some sailor's saying. That's in Scripture. And sure enough, it's true. Red sky at night means you're going to have good weather the next day. Red sky in the morning, sailor's warning. You're going to have some bad weather. How about that? I don't need the Weather Channel. All I got to do is look at the sky. All kinds of wisdom in the book and by our ancestors, if we bother to teach it. And again, I was blessed. I was blessed to have parents that believed in that, and they did. Day in and day out, little lessons on the way it should be. Again, did we follow it perfectly? No. If I'd done it perfectly, I wouldn't have been punished like I was. I wouldn't have felt the paddle against my ass. I wouldn't have been sent to my room without supper or any of the other things that were done when you stepped out of line. The good news is it didn't take that happening very often, and I learned very quickly to change my ways. I learned very quickly it was much nicer to get a pat on the back and that's a good job, Danny, and a trip to the Dairy Queen, or Mom would make a cupcake or something and give you a gift. That was much nicer than the paddle and the scolding that I would get from some very pissed off parents. Seems pretty simple, doesn't it? And it goes back to what? The biblical way. Why do we want to do the right thing? Well, supposedly because you don't want to stand in front of a what? Righteous Father. The great white throne judgment. What do you think that is? That's the same as standing in front of my father and mother and giving an explanation of why I broke the big picture window in our living room, which I did. My brother and I did. Because I hit a golf ball right through the picture window. I thought he was going to kill me. But he punished me worse. He made me pay for it. And I didn't make a lot of money mowing grass, so it took a long time to pay for that window. Same thing happened when I set the house on fire, or at least the chair in the living room. I set it on fire playing with my dad's lighter. I thought for sure my brother and I were going to die that day. My father confessed to me many years later that he did want to break my neck, but he sat in that chair staring at me across that living room. Probably, well, it felt like an hour, but it was probably about 5 to 10 minutes. And then he just simply said, "Are you ever going to touch my lighter again?" And I said, "No, sir, I will not." And I didn't. And my brother didn't. For the rest of the time that my father smoked and that lighter sat on that table, we never even thought about picking it up. So he could have punished me. Instead, he made me think I was going to die and then let me loose with a promise to behave, and it worked. So you don't always have to raise your hand. You don't always have to apply the pressure to the backside. And my father had enough wisdom to know when each was needed. And again, good fathers. We need good fathers. Take a look around. We have a lack of fathers today. We have a lack of family structure today. And instead of working together and putting aside the differences we have, we still have people that just want to stiffen up their neck, and just because we disagree on a point or two, we're going to go our separate ways. The enemy wins. They invade our lands. Our society dies. Our civilization dies. Chaos ensues. The whole world is in travail, exactly as that scripture says. The whole world is in travail, waiting for the sons of God to be manifested. Who are the sons of God, folks, if it's not you and me? Who are they? Who are the sons of the living God that should be manifested upon the earth? Who do you think that is? The whole world is in travail. And by the way, that word travail in both the Old and New Testaments is the same word used to describe a woman in labor. Travail. Pain. Waiting for what? The delivery. Our people are in travail today waiting for what? Deliverance from this evil system that's completely choking us today. It's everywhere. Everywhere around us. Now, I've had some people lately try to tell me that the scriptures have been adulterated. And it's true. Some of them have been mistranslated. And I've even had people in the past try to tell me the Old Testament doesn't belong in anything that we read. And my very first point that I try to bring out, and I would present that to the audience today, if you could get back with me and show me where Yahshua, the Messiah, where did he denounce the writings of the prophets? What we call the old scriptures, the old parchments. Where did he do that? Where did he denounce the writings of the prophets? Where did he denounce King David and Solomon? Where did he denounce Jacob? Where did he denounce Abraham? Somebody point that out to me, because last time I checked, he was quoting them frequently. In fact, if you care to think about it, he didn't quote anybody in the new parchments, did he? No. Why? Because they didn't exist. The writings of the New Testament didn't exist till after he was long gone. So obviously, Yeshua did not quote Paul. He did not quote any of the gospel writers. He didn't quote John. He didn't quote anybody except the old parchment writers, the prophets. So why is it today people want to throw the writings of the prophets away and stay in the New Testament? Why would you do that when the guy that you say you believe in, Yeshua HaMashiach, he quoted the prophets? Or he would say simply, it is written. Well, where do you think it was written? Again, the New Testament didn't exist, even in the Greek language or the Aramaic. It didn't exist. So when he said, it is written, what do you think he was talking about? And yet the writings of those people are thrown away. The habits of our people for thousands of years are thrown away because all of a sudden we're smarter and brighter than they were. All of a sudden we have a new understanding of everything, so we can just throw all that stuff about family and how to conduct warfare and how to raise animals and how to treat each other. We just throw all that stuff away, right? Including the Ten Commandments. Throw it all away. Because we have a new religion. We just have to love everybody because that's what Jesus did, you know. Jesus just loved everybody. So we throw all of that wisdom, all of those rules and regulations. It'd be like telling me that when I bought my new car, oh, Dan, you don't need that owner's manual because the salesman, he just loves you. And he'll tell you what to do with the car, Dan. He'll tell you what you need to know. That you don't really need to know all that intricate stuff about how the navigation works and Bluetooth and all that electronic gadgetry. Dan, you don't need that. Just listen to the salesman. He loves you. He'll tell you what you need to know. Just throw that owner's manual in the trash can. Well, I got news for you. I'm not about to throw it away. If you want to, that's your business. We got a lot of information coming in on this serum. It's a serum, an experimental serum they're putting in people's arms, and a lot of people are warning us that you may be affected by people that have been jabbed, even though you yourself have not been, that they can go airborne because of the, quote, spike proteins. I just saw some information that's been sent around that ivermectin, I-V-E-R-M-E-C-T-I-N, ivermectin, takes the spike protein and makes it inert. Now, I'm not an expert on it. I'm just telling you what I was given in a report. So I would suggest people look into it. That ivermectin is supposedly one of the substances that we can use in our battle to stay healthy at the end of the age here. The other thing that they're talking about is things like Eastern pine needle tea. And I've been doing some looking into that, and believe it or not, that's been around for a long time. And I didn't even know it. I've been doing organics and holistic medicine for a long time. I don't remember anybody talking about pine needle tea. And again, it's Eastern pine. Some pines are not good to drink, so you need to do the research. But Eastern pine, typical here on the east side of the United States, but you can get it shipped to you also. Eastern pine, you make a tea of those, and it's also supposed to help you overcome any of the spike protein shedding that they're talking about. And there's a few other teas that can help you out there. But the other thing is the pine needle tea is good for a lot of things, including heart health, eyes, cardiovascular, and a whole host of other things. On my website, I'm going to put it up there, a link to several website pages that list all the benefits of pine needle tea. Unbelievable. Again, our father told us, the herbs and the foods are your medicine. It doesn't say the pharmacy is. It says the herbs and your food are your medicine. I saw another article that Ammon Bundy, one of the guys in the standoff against the government out there, is running for the governor of Idaho. So if you know anybody out in that area, that neck of the woods up there in the northwest, they need to get behind him. And anybody else that's running for any kind of an office to take some of these charlatans and quacks, these psychopaths that we have at this time, get them the hell out of office. We need white men back in charge. If people haven't figured that one out, shame on you. And I'm talking again about good white men, not males, but men. Good white men need to step up and take over, or this thing is going to go the way of a military operation. Now, a lot of people don't like hearing that because nobody likes violence. Nobody likes warfare. Only a fool would promote violence and warfare. You'd have to be a fool. Ralph says he's doing pine needle tea plus essential oils. So, yes, essential oils are very good for you. And, again, that information, if you want to, out off the air, get a hold of me, and I'll send you information from some of the holistic people or the websites where you can get all kinds of information about this stuff. But, again, on this Father's Day, we need real fathers. We don't have very many real fathers, just like we don't have very many real men. And, unfortunately, we really don't have a whole lot of real women either. We got a lot of women that have the equipment, but they don't have the spirit of a biblical woman. They really don't. They really don't. And it's sad. It's sad. Because men, we need that. We need the ladies behind us. That's what empowers men. Real men need real women to empower them, because that's what real men fight for. They fight for women and family. They don't fight for material things. They don't even really fight over ideological things. Not really, unless that new ideology threatens the family. So real men want to fight, and they'll even die for family. But what do you think it does to us, ladies, when you just are continually contentious with this? What do you think that does to our men? And again, I'm talking about the real men now, not the cucks and soy boys and the little fairies out there. I don't give a shit about them. I'm talking about the real warriors out there, the lions. What do you think it does to them when the very people that we're willing to fight and die for want to argue with us all the time? What do you think that does? I'm going to tell you something. You take his power away from him. Why do you think the enemy is doing everything it can to cause division in the families of the white men? Why do you think that is? Because that's where the white man gets his power. It's not just a spiritual war, but it's a physical war, and we're here to fight for our families, for the women and children. That's our job. But what do you think it does to us when the very people that we want to protect do everything they can to tear us down? I don't think you ladies sometimes understand what kind of power you have. I really don't. You don't really realize how high a man gets when a woman behaves herself in a biblical sense and supports the man. You don't really realize just how much strength you give the guys. I don't think you're aware of that. But by the same token, you're also not aware of just how low you can make a man feel when you become his enemy, when you do all the things you do to diminish his authority and diminish his standing in the neighborhood. and diminish his self-esteem. You don't realize the damage that you're doing. And the enemy is just loving it. Loving it as the white race sits there and fights and bickers and backstabs one another instead of coming together. It's pretty sad. Because we could accomplish so much if we just get it straight. But we don't. We want to argue about everything. And if the other men feel pretty much like I do, I'm about the point where I'm pretty tired of arguing. I'm pretty tired. If you don't get it by now, with all of the shows that have been put on and all the information that's available out there, if you don't get it, it's almost like I want to put you in the same category as these diaper wearers and these people putting that serum, that untested experimental serum in their arm. Stay away from me. If you're that stupid, I don't want you anywhere near me. I've said that to friends and family recently. You've made your choice. You want to go the way of the world. You want to listen to the Antichrist. You actually want to harm yourself and your children. Stay away from me. I'm beginning to think that the Father is laying this on our hearts right now, because we've reached that point in time where he said to separate yourself from Babylon. Come out of her, my children. Isn't that what he said? That you suffer not her plagues. So if you're isolating yourself from these New World Order morons and retards that are running around, you have a better chance of survival. Now, I agree, it's tough, especially for folks that have to go to a job in a factory, or like my son was a driver for a carrier, but he stuck to his guns. He would not put the diaper on, not once. He didn't put the diaper on his face. And he took a lot of crap over it near the end, and he eventually had to walk away from the job. Nobody is saying that it won't cost you to take a stand. Typically, taking a stand does cost you. I'm paying a high price today for a stand that I've taken since the 1980s in a certain area of protest against the government, and I'm still paying for that. So, again, if you think you can take a stand and it's not going to cost you something, then you're foolish. But then again, doesn't the Word and our Father tell you that there's a blessing also? And there is. So on the one hand, yes, I'm being punished in some ways for my stand, as you will be for your stands. And I'm going to lose friends and family over my stand. Yep, I know that. But there's a blessing that comes from it. It may take a while for you to see it, but there's a blessing guaranteed for those that do take a stand. They're called the overcomers. You overcome your desire to be popular. You overcome your desire that, I hear this thing, well, my children are everything, Dan. I would do anything for my child, even though my child kicks me, my child swears at me, or my child is dating a non-white. They're my child. I have to love them. What? I looked at the guy and told me, what? You have to love them? Where do you see that written? Maybe you got a different Bible than I have. Maybe you have a different set of logic working up in that brain of yours. But that's not the way I see it. And that's not the way the Scripture sees it. Children are expected to obey. If they don't obey, they are not to be coddled, and they sure as hell don't deserve my love. It's tough love. They have to understand it. You break the rules, there's going to be punishment, up to and including expulsion from the family. Yeah, I've known family. my own family that have had children that were emancipated from the home because of their behavior. They just would not listen. They were constantly breaking the law or committing crimes or doing drugs. Well, get them the hell out of the family then. Why would you pollute your family with a deadbeat like that? Just because you're related to them? Where's that written? When Christ himself was sitting in that house and ministering to the people, and they came to the door and said, Yeshua, your family's out here. They want to talk to you. And he said, what? What did he say to them? My family's right here. He pointed to the people in the room listening to him, not to the DNA relatives standing outside. So why in the hell do you believe that? Why do you believe that your DNA connection to somebody is more important than their spiritual walk or their common sense? Why would you put somebody that puts that serum into their body, why would you allow them into your house? Why would you fellowship with them? Why? Where does it say to do that? Where does it say to unequally yoke yourself? Where does it say to bring evil and darkness and ignorance and fellowship with it? Where does it say that? Help me out there, because I can't find it. So it's just the opposite. Now, is it easy to do? No, it's not easy to do. Not easy to do. That reminds me, too, this whole nonsensical thing about Juneteenth. Again, trying to destroy the culture and heritage of the white race in their own lands. It's a communist ploy, and they use the non-white races in their methodology to do that. So, another totally ridiculous thing. The only thing good about June 19th, especially 1953, was yours truly showed up, and the Rosenbergs were executed that day. Because back then, in 1953, Jewish spies were executed the way they're supposed to be. Traitors to this country. Unfortunately, today we give them pardons and allow them to go back to their litter box in Palestine by the people like Obama and the orange-haired Jew, Trump. Okay, so back in 1953, we executed them the way you're supposed to, and now today we pardon them and give them a free pass to go back to their litter box with the rest of their vipers in Israel. See the difference? See the difference? We wonder why we're going down the tubes. All right, I'm going to open it up for anybody that wants to call in with a topic or question or medical advice or political report. Now's the time to give it. Also, I'm going to take a quick look here at the chat. I have not been following it, so if you sent anything there, I did not see it. Let me look down through here. What's this? Oh, Ralph says, I've been putting a drop or two of pine needle tea essential oil in an ounce of rum almost daily. Oh, well, now, with rum, that would be pretty damn good. Let's see. I don't see anything as to... guest 1488 says here, King David killed Jews like it was going out of style. That's why Yahweh God loved him so much. Well, he did obey him, okay? And again, he wasn't perfect. None of us are perfect. And we, you might want to also do a little study into the Phineas priesthood. For you little naysayers out there, you Karens or anybody else that thinks that... we're supposed to be milquetoast and pansies. You need to read about the Phineas priesthood. And from what I've read, the Phineas priesthood still exists to this day. And we need them today more than we've ever needed them. Because, again, we're losing everything. We're losing our racial purity. We're losing our spiritual walk. We're losing our heritage. We're losing our culture. We're losing our lands. And yet people, they just don't seem to get it. Okay, we got a caller. If I can get my software to work with me here. Give me a second. Randy, welcome to the program.
Praise Yahweh, how are you?
Hanging in there. Thank you, sir, and happy Father's Day.
Yep, thank you. You as well. when it gets to the political stuff, for years and years, we've never shied away from this topic. We and many, many others have always sounded the alarm against these people. And it's still shocking. Even maybe some people around us, they just, you know, it's just sad. It's like they should know that they're being lied to by these people, especially these people that are in the that have hijacked our government. And they just, it's, I guess in their mind, and I'm not making excuses for them, I guess in their mind, they just find it easier to go along to get along. And it's, this is why our country's in the mess that it is, because for generations, that's what we've done. We've just go along to get along, and it just doesn't get any better because we continue to allow these traitors to get away with, they just literally get on TV and lie to us. We know they're liars. They lied all about this COVID-19. Come on, people, especially the ones out there that wore the mask and did all these things. You got to admit, man, you've been played. You've been played by a bunch of liars. And this has all been going on since the Garden of Eden with Satan and the deception. It's the same thing. It just goes on and on and on.
Yep. Nothing new under the sun is what Solomon said, right?
No. No. You know, it's just a make. Yeah, and this whole, like, vaccine stuff, and they already told us what they were going to do. The whole depopulation agenda, I mean, you don't really need to look much further than the Georgia Guidestones. They literally wrote it in stone what they want to do to us. That they always tell us, hey, they want to silence our speech, take away our guns. They're very open about what they want to do to us. Very open. You just have to look. It's all out there.
Hey, Randy, let me ask you a question. Yeah, all of a sudden now, they're backing off of the masks. Even up in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, I've got friends there. I got friends in Michigan. Even with that tranny CIA Jew governor, they got, they're backing off. All of a sudden, all across the country, they're backing off. What do you think their play is here? They're not doing it because they care about us. What do you think the next shoe to drop is?
Well, when they feel like they've got the control of the people, they're just gonna, the thing will just kind of roar, keep roaring down the track. But then they've got to step back once they see people like Dr. Fauci and all these other people, like all this information gets put out there. That's when you see them to pull back, because they're not going to keep marching forward because they know that their time is limited as well. So they pull back, especially when our governor in Michigan got caught. You know, the Bistro Pizza Place in Holland, Michigan. See, they didn't waste no time putting her in jail, did they? But when the governor did the same thing, violated her own rules, oh, no, she didn't go to jail. She didn't get a fine. But this poor woman who actually came out of communism and came to the United States of America, they throw her into jail, but not the governor. And everybody's starting to wake up and realize this now, that there's this, like, double standard, and we've been talking about this for how many years? When we do something, they waste no time coming after us. But when they get caught, they just get to apologize. And that's got to stop.
Right. Right. Well, spare the rod, spoil the child.
I mean,
that also applies to government.
Yeah, I mean, right. And I mean, what's their next plan? Well, I'm not sure exactly what their next play is, but they're never going to stop. They're never going to stop. Every part of our Constitution, they have attacked it, beat it up, diluted it with court opinions by corrupt judges. I think people are waking up to it, but there's still a lot of us. I mean, we feel like we're completely powerless. We see what they're doing, but it's like, what are we really going to do about it? And I think that's where a lot of us are at. We're just like, we can see it. We can see all of this, but we don't like it.
Right. Yep. Well,
but I think I would like to think that the whole COVID-19 thing would have been a rude awakening for a lot of people. I mean, I guess we'll find out. I mean, it's just, it's so, the lies are just so in your face now. If people can't see it at this point, I don't know what will it take.
Right. The degeneracy is in your face, that's for sure.
Yes.
Absolutely.
This is stuff that we've been talking about. I mean, since from the moment that I've met you, and you know, you've done your race, we've been sounding the alarm constantly.
Right.
That years ago, you know, people might have laughed at us and ridiculed us. You know, like, oh, you're crazy. You want to go up against the government? It's like, well, don't put words in my mouth. I have no issue with the military and stuff like that, but we see all this corruption going on, and nothing's really happening to these people, and just we come under a lot of ridicule just for pointing out the obvious. It's just amazing.
Right. What's your opinion? Again, I'm asking for an opinion of this pushing that Trump is going to return and be our savior. What's your ideas on that?
Well, I don't personally like a man representing himself as our savior. The issue I take with that is, in the political arena, a lot of times we're like, oh, if we could just vote for that one man to solve our problems, when the problem is much deeper than that. I mean, they've removed, you know, our father out of nearly every, you know, nearly, they've removed him out of everything. That was all done intentionally, because they wanted our population to become degenerate. They don't want us to follow the Father. Just like in the Garden of Eden. The devil didn't want Adam and Eve to follow the ways of Yahweh either. So he deceived them. And that's exactly the kind of government that we have now. We've allowed the Antichrist to hijack our government. And that's what the coronavirus was all about. Having the government be their savior and not Yahweh. That's why the governors shut down the churches, because they don't want people to reach to Yahweh as the answer. They want them to reach to the government. Government, give us the money. Give us our food. Give us our water. Government, save us. The government is not going to save you. These are the people that butcher babies. These are the people that say gay marriage is okay. They're the ones that promote racial miscegenation. They are the promoters of the Antichrist. They are not our saviors. Nothing against Trump or any personal individual, but we have to look to Yahweh as our real savior, not to man. And definitely not a woman.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. Also, Ralph put up here that Pastor Bob Jones out there, I think he's in Nevada, he's back on the air as of yesterday on TalkShoe.com with a program. I don't know what he calls it. I think it's... Two Seed Line Message. So he's back up there. And then guest 1488 says here, I think Trump will win in 2024, but he's not going to save us, just deceive yet again. And according to Ralph, Bob Jones on his initial broadcast the other night, he mentioned the fact that Trump's wife and Obama's wife are both trannies. I don't know anything about that stuff. Well, I know Michael Obama's tranny is a tranny, but what's that?
That was some feedback on my CB radio. I apologize.
Oh, okay, yeah. Melania. As far as Melania, I'm not sure about her, because there's people that say they're pretty sure she is, and some say she isn't. I don't really know. At least Melania acts like a decent person. At least. Most of the time, maybe not all the time, but at least most of the time, whereas that Michael Michelle is an abomination in every regard, 100% abomination. Well, where do we go from here, Randall? What do you think, what do you see happening in the next 6 months?
I mean, if they can steal our elections, I mean, obviously there's not going to be a political solution if they can just steal our elections. But really, isn't it interesting that they do call the voting machines dominion over the earth? I mean, I find that it's almost like they're laughing at us.
Right.
They want to have, the Antichrist wants to have dominion over us. And that I just find it interesting that they would call these voting machines, which can be hacked, they call it Dominion. Is that just a coincidence?
Right. Right.
I don't think so. Ella
wrote in that. Go ahead.
The entire Antichrist agenda is to get us to follow the Antichrist and turn us away from Yahweh, and that's exactly what the system has done. They don't want us to be like our founding fathers. They want to take off. They want to castrate the men of this country and not have us be like our founding fathers. That's what they're afraid of.
Yep. And Ella says here that her opinion is they're pulling back now so that they can rehash all this stuff in the coming flu season. That's certainly a possibility.
But
you still there,
Randy? That's not all I got on my end. I just don't people could just realize how much we've been lied to. I mean, the entire system that we're dealing with now is contrary to our founding fathers and our Constitution. And people just need to wake up and realize that our government has been hijacked from within. They want us to focus on all these other countries. And I'm not trying to say none of them are not a threat. But the true threat against us and our freedoms comes from within our own borders, not across the ocean. Remember, it's not China and Afghanistan and all these other countries. Okay, while they might be a little bit of a threat, they're not the ones lying to us in our own country. They're not the ones in the positions of power that are lying to us and stealing our money. We need to deal with the domestic enemies that are right here in the United States that are trying like hell to destroy our people and our country. That's right here in our own country, folks. We know it. We know it. They know it. Everybody knows it. It's time to deal with the domestic enemies. Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh. Thanks a lot, Randy. Yahweh bless. Take care, buddy. All right, good. That's Randy up in Michigan. I want to do a couple readings here out of Prophets and Poets, The Last Days by Michael Marlowe. June 17th, out of Amos chapter 3, for Yahweh God does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. June 18th, Isaiah chapter 44, fear not, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from old and declared it? June 19th, Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and Yahweh whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And then for today, out of Zechariah chapter 9, then Yahweh will appear over them, and his arrow will go forth like lightning. On that day, Yahweh their God will save them as the flock of his people, for how great is his goodness and how great is his beauty. Hallelujah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll go ahead and close it off for today. Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters all over this earth. We ask a blessing of the Holy Spirit upon those who truly love you and revere you. We ask that you would walk with them and watch over them and give a hedge of protection over top of them. Give them good discernment to see through the lies and deceptions. And also, Father, we ask that your coming would be very, very soon, that you raise up your generals and the real men, the lions of our people, that be good examples. We pray that you would enter the hearts of our ladies out there and let them see the wisdom in supporting the men and getting back to traditional roles. And that we can conquer almost any enemy, and we can slay dragons when we get things right. We ask that you watch over our children and bless them and protect them, and those who are resisting this new world order, that you also watch over them and give them a spirit of strength and courage. And walk with us each individually, Father Yahweh. Forgive us our sins, wash us anew in the blood of the Lamb, and protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.